Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Barrett's 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Xander Kraus. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack. And we're joined now by Devin Jackson. You can follow him on X at RealD_Jackson. Over on X, he does all his draft work for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Devin, great work for the draft, brother. It comes and it goes quick, but it's the end of a long road of you preparing for the NFL draft. How you doing on this Tuesday morning, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back on, guys. I'm always looking forward to talking through the draft and, kind of reviewing the class now, almost a few weeks out.
Yeah, I you took us through the draft, so I want to get your thoughts on the end game and what the Eagles were able to do. And we'll start with the top pick overall, and that's Jahad Campbell. You know, it's funny to me, Devin. The first thing Howie said, basically, after the pick was he didn't want to put this player in the box, and everything everybody's tried to do after that is try to put this player in a box. What was your evaluation of Jahad Campbell? Because Howie did play up his pass rushing ability a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, I could see why he would play up his pass rush ability, considering that's where he played in high school and early in his career in Alabama. But I really like the player in Jahad Campbell. I was surprised that he was there at 31, just because, you know, he felt like a guy coming out of the NFL combine, the way that he tested, the way that he moved as an athlete. And you combine that with his tape, it seemed like he was going to be a top 15, top 20 pick. And, you know, everything that I heard out of the combine is that the Tampa Bay Bucks were, prepared to draft him at 19 overall. But obviously the shoulder surgery, caused him to go down the board a little bit and maybe some of the other health things he has going on related. But I love the player. I love the pick. I think he's a player that, how he said as much that he's going to start in an inside linebacker room. But I think there's some flexibility there if you want to use him in kind of, some of the blitz packages, maybe have him standing up off the edge and rushing off the edge. I think as a pass rusher, I mean, he's more of a speed guy right now. I don't think he's quite refined really in that role. He hasn't played it full time and played significant snaps there since high school. So it'll take a little bit of more development, I think, if you really want to use him off the edge. Even as soon as next year. But I think overall the player is really good. The value that you got in him also in the first round was really good. And, you know, hometown kid, guy coming back home. So I think we have all those things combined that, you know, it's a really good first round pick and a player that I'm excited to see how the Eagles use in Vic Fangio's defense.
Devin, I want to ask you, let's just assume for a second that Jahad Campbell is healthy for this exercise. All right, the Eagles run a lot of nickel. Who comes off the field for Jahad Campbell to get on? Is it N'Kobe Dean? Let's assume they're all healthy. Is it N'Kobe Dean? Do you see him lining up where, you know, one of the guys on the front would be, maybe a Jalix Hunt? Where do you see him lining up in that nickel defense when you have five defensive backs on the field?
I think in nickel, he's probably a linebacker. I could see him coming in for N'Kobe Dean. I just think he's – right now, a better player in coverage than N'Kobe Dean. Not to say that N'Kobe Dean isn't a good player, and he can again get into those coverage drops. But we saw how well Zach Bond played last year, and he's a non-negotiable to he's staying on the field for sure.
Right.
And I also think it might have. I think the secondary is going to be a little interesting depending on who wins the CB2 spot. Obviously, opposite of Quinyon Mitchell, because Cooper Dishing was so good at nickel. So I would surmise it'll be N'Kobe Dean or maybe, one of the guys maybe Cooper DeJean is still in a nickel. Maybe they bump out outside corner, but I think in the boxes is most likely where Jahad Campbell will be in nickel, just because, I think that's where he's most comfortable at right now. And, maybe they'll get a little creative, assuming that he's healthy and maybe in camp he shows some more pass rushing shots. But right now I would say probably coming in for N'Kobe Dean in those packages.
If it's Zach Bond and Jahad Campbell, And whether that's 2025 or 2026, because, you know, he might not have an off season, and it might take a while to ramp up for Jod. But whenever it gets to that, who's the Mike linebacker?
I think Zach Bond's the Mike linebacker in that scenario.
Yeah, that would be my estimation as well.
So it doesn't seem like it's good for N'Kobe Dean. I know we mentioned like he wasn't drafted to replace N'Kobe, but in order to get him on the field, it feels like N'Kobe's got to come off.
Well, if he's playing linebacker, yeah. Now, what's interesting to me, and I've looked at it, and I want to throw the Van Ginkle reference at you, because people have looked at the way Vic used Andrew Van Ginkle, Devin, in Miami. It was more, you know, he plays stack linebacker, but he plays off the edge. He played as a flat defender, played as a joker inside rusher. Long term. Now, we know you got to build up to that. There are very few people in the NFL that can play that many roles. There aren't a lot of players that do that. Does he have that versatility to where, let's say, on first and 10, he's playing weak side linebacker? If it's third and long, he might be a joker as an inside rusher. Might be an edge rusher. But he'll be on the field for three downs like Van Ginkle. Does he have that kind of versatility long term?
I think so. You know, I think when you looked at the Alabama tape, a lot of those kind of characteristics kind of showed up where, you know, first and second down, he'd be inside the box, but he'd be on the line of scrimmage on third down. You know, in the interior, over the center, you know, off of the tackle, on the tackle's outside shoulder, and rushing the passer on third downs. You know, so at Alabama, you could kind of see some of that usage and some of the vision that, yeah, we know he's a really good linebacker. You know, he can fly, you know, sideline to sideline. He can drop into coverage and play some man coverage in some spots against tight ends. But he also can get after the passer and rush as a passer. I don't think he was quite as effective just because I think he was more so trying to occupy a player and occupy a blocker versus like actually letting loose and trying to rush the passer. And on those, some of those situations, just because, you know, depending on the blitz package, depending on the game that you're running up front, you know, sometimes you're just picking a player so someone else can get free. But in those instances that he did actually rush the passer, you could see the speed off the edge, his ability to turn the corner. And I think it'll be, you know, in you know, the Eagles' best interest not to, you know, just use him as an inside linebacker, but getting some value on blitzing him on third downs as well to kind of mix it up. But if you need him to drop in the coverage, he can do so. So I think he's a player that you just come in with a defined plan and you want to be able to give different looks to offenses. So it's harder to game plan against him. And you have Zach Bond, you know, potentially next to him. To be more that steady presence in the middle of the field, I think that opens up the versatility aspect of Campbell's game.
It's going to be interesting to see. Devin, talk to me about the second round pick, Andrew McCool, a safety out of Texas. Obviously, we had a great season at Texas last year in the SEC. They picked him at 64. There was a couple other safeties still on the board, notably Kevin Winston from Penn State and that Notre Dame safety, Xavier Watts. But what did you think of that pick, and what do you think of that player here for the Eagles?
Yeah, Andrew McCuba was one of my favorite players in the draft process and a player that actually mocked to the Eagles in my last mock draft just because I felt like he made a lot of sense to what the Eagles are looking for at safety. You know, McCuba is a guy that played mostly nickel at Clemson before he transferred to Texas in his final season in college. And you could see kind of that experience showing up, especially defending the run and coming up and flying downhill to make tackles in the run game. But also in the coverage ability too, you know, he's a guy that can come down across the line of scrimmage and come down within that 10 to 15 area and make plays on the football. I think he had 5 interceptions last year and a playmaker in that secondary and a guy that, you know, despite, you know, being sub 200 pounds, he's incredibly physical, can come downhill, can make tackles in space, and can cover the deep thirds of the field, deep halves. So I like the player, and even relative to where he was taken and some of the other players on the board. I think McCuba was a better athlete than You know, Xavier Watson obviously had more playing experience than Kevin Winston Jr. So I think he's more of a sure bet than maybe some of those other players that he was taken ahead of. And obviously, I know the weight is going to be a big concern, you know, just kind of the style of play that he plays with. But he's a reliable player. You know, I don't think he missed many games, if any at all, in college with injuries. And a player that, you know, despite his size, you know, can make all the plays on the back end and kind of shore up that defense, you know, as a run defender and pass coverage.
Day three, Devin, I thought it was very exciting. The Eagles had a lot of volume, a lot of picks, ended up taking 8 different players. You probably saw their little unscripted show where they showed the war room, a little bit of their, what they call their passion meeting, where different scouting execs, you know, talk up players and who they really want to pound the table for. So a lot of guys they were looking at. Start off day three with your highest ceiling player and also the one with the highest floor, the one who's just solid.
I would say highest ceiling. I'd have to go to Cameron Williams, the tackle from Texas, just because he was a guy that, I mean, even outside of me, I had him inside my top 100, but a lot of people did. You know, a lot of people thought that he would go in that third, fourth round area. And to get him in round 6 and to get him after the Eagles already took another offensive tackle, I thought was tremendous value. And a player that, you know, is only 21 years old, only had 16 starts in his college career, and really, truly a ball of clay that can be molded into a really good player. You see the tools he has, the size, the arm length. And even some of the surprising mobility at his size too, just a guy that really is truly inexperienced, but I think also a guy that you're not going to.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Be counting on for at least a few seasons, and you can take some time to develop under Jeff Stoutland. And any time that the Eagles take offensive lineman, especially that late in the draft, and a guy that was, you know, at least highly thought of, you know, in the draft community, I think that speaks volumes. And you just know that Stoutland is going to get the best out of him. So I would go highest ceiling for him in that particular pick. Highest floor, I'm going to go Kyle McCord, because I think he is a guy that is kind of what you want as a potential backup, a guy that's not scared of the moment, not scared to throw the football around and, you know, make plays with his arms down, arm downfield, and just kind of have that fearless mindset. You know, he played really fearless his final year at Syracuse, a hometown guy as well, a player that, you know, I think at some point in his career, I could see him starting games. I don't think necessarily for the Eagles, but I think he can you know, develop into a nice backup. And I'm assuming that Tanner McKee is either going to get traded or signed somewhere else potentially to compete for a starting spot, just because I think that's kind of the trajectory he's on, you know, over the next few years. So I think McCord was taken to kind of be the potential long-term backup. And I really like the player. I think what you're getting is a guy that can come in and you're going to have a drop off no matter if you lose a starting quarterback or even in this case, a second string. But him coming in, I feel okay with him running the offense, knowing that he has confidence in himself and, you know, a player that, you know, doesn't have all the physical, you know, maybe tools that some of the early round quarterbacks typically do, but the confidence and moxie he plays with, I think, you know, I could see him, you know, being a long-term backup in Philly.
Good stuff there. I want to ask you about a fan favorite, Devin, is Ty Robinson. Everybody seems to love this guy. I loved this guy when they picked him. What do you think of the pick? What do you think of the player? I happen to think he's my guy who I have the highest floor at. I think he's going to be a contributor year one. Maybe that's lofty. I know he's a fourth-round draft pick. What do you see in Ty Robinson for the Eagles?
Yeah, he's a guy that's high-effort player, you know, just continuously working to get involved in the play, and an explosive player. I mean, you saw his testing at the NFL Combine, one of the best testers relative to his size. He's just so powerful. You know, he has powerful hands, you know, plays with kind of a reckless abandon, you know, very physical at the point of attack and then finishing plays and you know, sacking the quarterback, and really had a big jump this year in his production and productive player, and you know, beat some really good offensive linemen over the course of the season. You know, he had a solid game against Ohio State and some of the interior presence that they have, you know, like Donovan Jackson, who was taken in the first round by the Vikings, and a player that I think, you know, it continued to get better over the course of his college career and found some nice consistency in his final season at Nebraska. I do think that he was played because he was played a little bit all over the defensive line. I think, you know, he might have been miscast at times, especially when he played like nose and one technique, really deep on the inside. But I think he's a guy that's probably going to play more three technique at the NFL level. And I do think he can be a contributor as well for the Eagles defense, and give them some more pass rushing juice in that defensive line room.
One guy, I think if you look at all these guys, and you just talked about Ty a little bit, we'll talk about Smile Mundon a little bit, Drew Kendall, Miles Hinton, their fathers, Antoine Powell, Ryland, his production at the college level. The one guy I can't get a beat on from my perspective is Mac McWilliams. So I want to hear your thoughts on him and where he might project. Because if you look at the Eagles last year, yeah, Quinion was great. Cooper was great. Slay was great. But they also, at times, Slay particularly, but also Quinion late, got a little bit banged up. And other guys had to play. Isaiah Rogers had to play. Avonte Maddox had to play at times. They had to use a lot of defensive backs. They have to repopulate. They lost four of them. If you add CJ into the mix with Slay, Rogers, Maddox, they got to repopulate that secondary, Devin. So Mac McWilliams is a guy who might have to play at some point. How did you grade him? How did you look at him as a prospect?
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, has nickel and outside corner experience and a player that, you know, is extremely adept at getting his hands on the football. He didn't really have any interception totals this past year at UCF, but a player that I thought was at his best in zone coverage, and playing kind of the off zone man or the off zone coverage as well, making plays on the football in front of him and disrupting at the catch point. I think he's probably more of a nickel because of his size. I think he's only like 5'10 at the NFL level. And I thought, you know, there were some snaps that he could do a little bit of both. You know, and I thought he was a really good and sound tackler in the open field. They would try to throw screens at him. He would blow up those screens. And I think it's going to suit him well as a potential versatile player in the secondary, in the depth piece at least. He could play on the outside if you need him to in a pinch. But I think he's probably could be the backup nickel. And maybe you cross-train him at safety as well and kind of have a built-in Avonte Maddox replacement. That's how I kind of view him as a guy that can bring that depth, can play a few different, you know, secondary roles and for the Eagles secondary. And, you know, I think he's probably going to be a special teams contributor, at least in year one, and maybe he can continue to build off of that. But I think he's probably going to be a backup nickel. Would be my guess what he does in the fall.
Going to be interesting to see on him. Devin, one of my favorite picks in the draft, and maybe I'm falling for it, I don't know, you tell me, is their final pick, Antoine Powell-Riley. I mean, anytime someone puts up 25 and a half sacks, I can't just glaze over that. Now, I know he's got some questions about the measurable, some of those things. I thought a great dart throw in round six there with that draft pick. What do you think of Antoine Powell Ryland out of Virginia Tech?
Yeah, it was a guy that I think was only there because of, you know, his I think 34 and a quarter inch arms. Yeah, you know, and I get it. Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, he was an incredibly productive player. I think when I was, you know, watching him in the fall that I heard he had three games of four or more sacks in his career, which is kind of insane to think about, you know, considering, you know, him getting a bead on snap counts and turning the corner and using that speed that he has to turn the corner. I do think he's probably mostly going to be a pass rushing specialist type of player, which I think is valuable to have in an edge rushing room just because you need guys that specialize in things. And I think he specializes in getting after the passer. And I think he could be, you know, it's going to be tough to get snaps in this current iteration of the Eagles rotation, but you know, I think if you give him some time and give him some ability to show what he can do off the edge, I could see him being used in package in kind of those NASCAR packages that teams like to use sometimes, where you put just all pass rushers on the field. And
yeah, right.
I think he could be a nice addition as and kind of complement to the pass rushing room, because I think he's a pure speed rusher, a guy that once he, you know, beats you around the corner, he's going to close and finish plays. And it was really exciting to see, you know, during the fall. And you know, I think that ability alone is going to be able to translate at the NFL level, despite the short arms.
Yeah, I think you mentioned those four sack games. He was the first to do it at Virginia Tech since Bruce Smith. We found out he's got a relationship with Bruce. Bruce has been helping him out. That always scares me because I remember that Derek Barnett to Reggie White comparisons at Tennessee, right. And everybody's right. Bringing up poor APR with, as I've dubbed him, bringing him up with Bruce Smith. I don't think he's going to be Bruce Smith, but hopefully he can be a contributor to the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward. You know, the two, and I asked Howie about this after day three, the two sort of genetics prospects, the Drew Kendall and Miles Hinton, their fathers were really good NFL players. In the case of Chris Hinton, one of the best offensive linemen I've ever seen, doesn't necessarily translate either, but boy, Jeff Stoutland was really happy when the Eagles got Miles Hinton. And Drew Kendall, I made a lot of, and I don't know if you heard how we talk about centers and how so many teams just say, all right, this guy can't play guard, let's move him to center. And snapping the football is not a natural trait, Howie said. And Drew Kendall can do it. All he did was play center at Boston College. Those two picks I'm just interested in because everybody calls this a genetics league. And if it is, I think Drew Kendall and Miles Hinton have a chance.
Yeah, they're both really good players, really solid players. You know, with Drew Starman, Drew Kendall, I think he's just reliable. You know, he gets blocks done. You know, he's not a guy that's going to be overly flashy and, you know, make any crazy blocks. But I think, you know, when you're looking for a guy that can step in and give them a little bit more flexibility along the offensive line, you know, we saw – obviously, Landon Dickerson had to move over to the center with Cam Jurgens a little banged up during the playoff run. I think it's incredibly valuable to have a guy that can be a backup center. You know, I know they took Dylan McMahon last year in last year's draft, and he just quite didn't quite work out for the Eagles. And I think mostly because of his size, but I think Drew Kendall. You know, you talk about the NFL bloodlines. You talk about a player that you know was, you know, I believe he was a 4-year starter at Boston College and a player that's just really consistent on a down and down basis. I think Miles Hinton is a little bit more interesting because he is a massive player, has exactly all the tools that you're looking for in a player and a guy that I think, you know, just needs more refinement in his technique and just continue to round up his game. You know, I thought just at times, you know, on his film, he was a little played a little high, you know, gave up the edge a little bit quickly. So I think getting coached by Stoutland is going to be beneficial for both players, but especially Miles Hinton, just because I think there's still some more potential to untap with Hinton. And I think he's a guy that maybe they cross-train him at guard and tackle and see what they can get out of him at both spots. I think I could see, you know, I could see it with both Cameron Williams and Miles Hinton that they cross-train both of those guys just because, you know.
He has a history of doing that, scouting the big bodies inside. And they both talked about it when we were talking to him before rookie camp. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles try one of those two at right guard down the road, at least. Maybe not this year, but guess it'll take a while. But, I mean, they like those big, powerful bodies inside more than other teams. You see it with Mekhi Becton. So if you're going to move Mekhi Becton, you can move anybody inside because that guy blocks out the sun. So that'll be interesting. And the last guy we haven't talked about, which is interesting because he's my favorite pick of day three, and that's Smile Mundon. I just think if he stays healthy, this is a starting level linebacker eventually, not early, but he's got starting potential to be in this league for a long time. Your thoughts on Smile Mundon?
Yeah, he was a player that I think, you know, injuries kind of derailed him a little bit in his college career, especially in his final season at Georgia. But when he was on the field, he's a guy that brings a lot of coverage outside. You know, a player that could find routes developing behind him and in front of him, could find his drops. You know, really a reliable tackler inside the box, and a player that you know I really liked in the draft process and thought obviously, you know, he was a little overlooked because he was a little banged up in his final season at Georgia, but a reliable player nonetheless. And I think he's going to find some special team snaps early on in his Eagles tender, you know, just assuming that he's fully healthy now. But yeah, he flies around the football, smart player. Obviously, the connections to some of the other Georgia players on the Eagles roster, and you know, I'm really excited to see what he does. You know, for a team like the Eagles that hasn't you know, valued the linebacker position too often in recent years, for them to add a number of bodies into that room as of recently. You know, obviously signed Zach Bond, drafting Jeremiah Charter Jr., drafting Jahad Campbell and Smile Mundon.
You can tell Vic showed up. Yeah
exactly. You saw a lot of Vic in this draft. Make sure you guys follow Devin at @RealD_Jackson. Devin, just a couple questions left for you. We appreciate the time. Great breakdown of the Eagles draft. By the way, before I ask you a question about the overall draft, how was Green Bay? I saw your tweet of your picture out there. I love tweets like that where you kind of, you know, live out a dream. Did Green Bay live up to the hype? People say Lambeau Field is a place you got to go. How was it out there in Green Bay?
It was actually really cool. You know, I think I didn't know what to expect going into it, you know, because I've been to Green Bay before, but just for the weekend and went to a game. But just overall, it was a great atmosphere. I mean, there was a point like 20 minutes before the draft started where they had to stop letting people in because it got to capacity. You know, that's how excited everyone was to be there. You know, obviously the food scene is pretty good too as well in Green Bay. And then they had the red carpet inside of Lambeau Field, which was really, really cool. And I wouldn't even call it a red carpet. They had it, you know, had like green field down basically for the quote unquote red carpet. But it was a really great scene. It was cool because, you know, the fans got to watch too. Some of the red carpet, even though they couldn't see the full thing, but they could watch from the stands and could do for free. And so it was a really cool environment, a really cool place to have it. And you know, for as small as the city is, I thought they did a really good job hosting it.
Good stuff there. Devin, any you cover the draft, man, you cover every guy leading up to it. Anything that was just, you know, you didn't expect, you didn't see coming, maybe it's Shedeur Sanders falling to the fifth. Anything overall in the draft, not Eagles based, that just surprised you in this year's draft?
Yeah, I thought that the running back run was going to happen a little bit earlier than it did. You know, a guy like Caleb Johnson lasting to pick 83 with the Steelers was a little bit surprising. And honestly, I was a little surprised that the Eagles didn't take a running back, you know, just in general, even with
how about one of those tight end picks.
That too. Yeah. But I think that with the tight end aspect, so many went off the board after their first round pick. So really in that day two run of tight ends, I think kind of took them out of contention to take a tight end. And then from there, it was interesting to kind of watch them operate, because then it felt like they're all right. You know, you don't take a tight end. Obviously, they're going to take an offensive lineman here in a round three. Then they have a couple of trade backs and just don't take anyone in round three. So I think just overall how the draft kind of the ebbs and flows of it. Obviously, the Shedeur Sanders storyline was pretty big, but just in general, I thought, you know, there was a long run in between quarterbacks. And then Dylan Gabriel going third round was a big surprise too. So you really just don't know like how highly these teams value some of these players. So I thought it was interesting some of the landing spots that they ended up in. And then some of them it just made sense, like Nick Emmanuel going to Seattle. You're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, you know. And them trading up to get him. But I think probably the overarching surprise from round one, I would say, is the Falcons giving up a future first round pick to go get James Pierce.
Yeah, I think they're all flabbergasted by that. Not that, I mean, I like James Pierce, but boy, they gave up a lot to get back in the first round. I what'd you think, by the way, Devin, real quick, last one, at @RealD_Jackson. Make sure you follow him on X. Read him at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Does a tremendous job covering the NFL draft. Did you hear any whispers out there? A lot of people thought the Eagles were going to take Shedeur Sanders at 145, and all of a sudden here comes Cleveland back up to take him at 144. And further bolstered by the Eagles did take a quarterback later in the draft. Any whispers about that? Anything from that aspect of it?
Yeah, I had no clue, honestly. You know, I know there was like some pre-draft whispers that maybe the Eagles were like Jalen Milroe, but nothing on Shedeur Sanders. And you know, like I would not have expected them to take Shedeur, even with the Browns trading up. Like I didn't think they were a contender to take him, but when it's that late in the draft, I mean, it's
yeah.
It's
well, I think that's one of those things.
Yeah,
it got late.
I was gonna say it's probably one of those things they at least discussed, you know, or at least entertained the idea, you know. But
how taken aback were you by that, the Shedeur thing falling to the fifth round?
I mean, I would say pretty decently, just because like I knew there was a good chance he probably wasn't going round one, but then to see some of the other quarterbacks taken ahead of him, it was kind of the bigger surprise. Like, you know, the Giants trading back into round one, take Jackson Dart, you know, it's okay. You know, you heard some of the rumblings about that potentially, and Tyler Shough potentially going, you know, on day two, but Dylan Gabriel taking ahead of him, you know, you could talk me into Jalen Milroe going ahead of him, but once we got into day three, it was really just a surprise to see teams would be trading up in the fourth and fifth round. You're like, oh, surely that's for Shedeur, you know, just because, you know, at that point it's a day three pick, you know, like what's the point of kind of waiting around anymore to take him? But yeah, I was surprised in seeing how far that he continued to fall as we got deeper in the draft and players that, I mean, look, I understand you're at that point, you're not taking him as a starter, but there were some players going off the board that, you know, probably should not have been drafted ahead of him, you know? So yeah. I think that was kind of the biggest takeaway, was not necessarily the landing spot, 'cause like it felt like Cleveland was a team that made sense all along, but taking another quarterback ahead of him and some of the other quarterbacks that, you know, were clearly backup level players, potentially in the roster players, you know, getting taken ahead on was a big surprise.
Yeah, interesting. It was interesting the way it played out, in my opinion. Devin, great stuff, man, today. Make sure, again, you guys follow him at @RealD_Jackson. Read all his work at Philadelphia Inquirer. Truly one of the best covering the draft. Devin, thanks for joining today, man. We appreciate it. Great job on the 2025 NFL Draft, brother. I'm already following your Twitter for the 2026 NFL Draft, so appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. 2026, we'll have to wait about 3-4 weeks. I need some time.
There you go. Take some time, brother. We appreciate it, Devin. Thank you, man. There's Devin Jackson joining us here on Birds 365. Great job by him. Great breakdown of the Eagles draft, of the overall NFL draft. Johnny Mac, good show today, brother. Your final thoughts here. We got a couple of minutes. I thought Devin did a pretty good job breaking down the Eagles draft class. And obviously we got the, we stirred up the pot a little bit with the offense talk, which always will naturally.
I told you it would stir up the pot. You didn't believe me. I told you.
I believe you. It's not been
true. I don't understand it, man. I don't understand it. I don't think there's a problem in the Eagles. Luckily for Eagles fans, the Eagles themselves will be trying to improve the efficiency of the passing game. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's what they should be trying to do. And they're not going to say, oh, we won the Super Bowl, everything's fine.
Yeah, right. That's a loser's mentality, John.
That is, actually. It is. So nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. You got to improve. And by all right, John. Jalen Hurts is pretty good, too.
Yeah, Devin's great. You should check him out. As we said, at the Philadelphia Inquirer, does a tremendous job. We got through every single pick with him. I thought his, it's always interesting to see who you're highest on. A lot of people are highest on Cameron Williams because he's that, I do think he's the biggest day three pick with the upside from the standpoint of if everything clicks. He could be a big time player.
I like but the I word also, Devin used, a ball of clay.
Yeah, I think he's also like got, he's the boomer bust guy. Like he could be a complete washout or he could be a long time NFL starter.
Could be gone after the year or he could be here for the future.
Yeah. And I do think it's interesting that, both of those guys, Miles Hinton and Cam Williams, both talked about playing guard as well. So that's already been broached. And that big kid from Rutgers they signed is undrafted. He was their right guard at rookie camp. And he's 6'8". Yeah.
6'8". And he played guard at the rookie camp, didn't he?
Yeah. Played right guard. So they will move a big body inside.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. Last super chat of the day before we let Johnny Mack get out of here. Brian Pumper, Devin just cemented it. Relying on AJ Hurtneck Dillon and a bootleg Danny Woodhead will haunt Montrez who? And where is Malik Carr?
I forgot to rip the Malik Carr truthers.
Bootleg Danny Woodhead is hilarious.
Who was that? Do we know who that was who said Malik Carr was going to replace Dallas Goedert? Do we know who that was?
No, I do not know who that was. Who was that?
I was telling Xander, Malik Carr didn't even show up.
Yeah. Would he get another offer somewhere?
I don't even know. I have to look. I forgot. I totally forgot about it. But I was telling you because I said, where's Malik Carr? I've heard so much about Malik Carr.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they don't publicize these things. Just a lot of times he was coming in as a tryout player. And a lot of times they get a better offer, they get a better situation, and maybe they'll bow out before they actually get to rookie camp. But he was supposed to come in as a tryout player, and we had that one listener who said he was going to replace Dallas Goedert as a tryout player. He wasn't even signed as an undrafted free agent, so I warned him. And he didn't even
show up. What about what Pumper's saying on running back? Are you a Shipley guy? Because I can't say I'm a Shipley guy.
I'm not a Shipley guy. Like I mean, what has he done to? I mean, I'm not a Shipley guy in that I don't like it. I'd rather have Kenny Gainwell, but, you know, you're trying to get a little bit cheaper, a little bit younger, a little bit more cost effective, the old NFL standpoint. I'm with Pumpers, AJ Dillon. I don't know if he's going to be healthy. We'll see. But I'm not against Will Shipley. Like, he showed some signs. He had the big run against Washington.
I got this seared in my head, Brandon. I'm with you. It's literally seared in my head whenever I think of Will Shipley when he got chased down on that.
What is wrong with you guys? Like, somebody runs
just,
in the.
When I think of Will Shipley, that's what I think about. John, what's so wrong with that?
Because when you run for 50, whatever it was in the NFL, that's pretty fucking good. Not everybody's Saquon Barkley or Adrian Peterson. That's
never
getting chased
down. I
didn't
even make a
comment down.
About it. I just said I think about it when I think of the player. It was funny.
But I'm saying, I'm asking why, because there's a lot of fan mentality of if somebody gets chased down by the fastest people in the freaking world, NFL defensive backs.
Right.
Like, that's not rare. Like, Saquon's rare. Everybody gets chased down at some point. Everybody. It's the fucking NFL. That's all. It's bizarre to me.
Is Will Shipley good as a running back too or not?
Uncertain, I would say. But that's what I was trying to impart before I got that weird comment. Like, a 50-yard run. You're complaining about a 50-yard run.
You're making a lot of assumptions. I didn't complain about it. I just said
I'm talking about
his most memorable play.
I'm talking about Brandon Howard. Well, it is his most memorable play, but it should be most memorable because he had a 50-yard run in an NFL game. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, both sides of it, right? It was memorable because he got a lot of yards. It was also memorable because he got chased down.
What am I dealing with here, man?
Both sides of the aisle on that, John. I'm not sure if you're there.
That's he got chased down in the NFL. So we end on that note. But on Will Shipley, no, I'm not sold on Will Shipley, but I also am not. I thought he showed a lot of positive signs as a rookie. And, you know, I would say that I'd prefer to have him as Saquon Barkley's backup, which I said, than A.J. Dillon, because I think you have a better context, a better change-up with Will Shipley than A.J. Now, if Saquon was out, as I also said, sprained ankle, yada, yada, and you need a lead back, then I think it should be A.J. Dillon. So, in other words, if you need somebody to carry the football 20 times, I'd rather that be a healthy A.J. Dillon. But as a backup, I think Will Shipley should be fine. But he's unproven, just like all these guys are unproven. Yeah. Tyler Steen's unproven. Kaylee Ringo's unproven. Sidney Brown's unproven. Yada, yada, yada. On and on and on.
Like that guy the Cowboys drafted, Jaden Blue. That kid can run. So we'll see if he has any impact.
Never worried about guys getting chased down. I gotta go bang my head on the wall. Yeah, Jaden Blue.
John, cheer up over there, John. Howard has the ability to upset you that much? Or Brandon Howard, excuse me?
No, it's just weird to me. Like, 50-yard run in the National Football League for a rookie. And he's worried about him getting chased down because he doesn't score a touchdown. He's inside. I believe he was inside.
John, whether I'm not killing the guy for it. It was funny. That's all. It was funny. It was memorable play for that reason.
Yeah. I don't. Well, because it's more of I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Brandon Howard. I took it as he was shitting on him because he got chased down in an NFL game, which is silly to me. That's all.
No, that's not the reason that you don't want him as a corner, as the running back too. Can he block? Can he do what the Eagles need him to do? That's
exactly.
I don't know if he can. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a little bit more important. But the Eagles will always take a 50-yard run, even if he gets chased down.
For sure. Johnny Mac, good show today, brother. We're way over time. Thank you for doing it. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of Birds 365. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks, all.
All right, there's Johnny Mack, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Give him a follow on X at JF McMullen. Well done today by John. Great job by Devin Jackson. I'm a big Devin Jackson fan. He's dope, man. He's really good at doing the draft.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.